As final votes come in, the election appears to be a mixed bag for the Democrats. Joe Biden has been declared the winner in the presidential race, and Democrats will keep the House, but likely with the narrowest margin in 18 years. Which party controls the Senate? Up in the air, with a pair of Senate runoffs not happening in Georgia until January. So what do these election results mean for and about Democrats in Congress? Joining us now is Massachusetts Congresswoman and House Democratic Caucus Vice Chair Catherine Clark, who just won re-election in the 5th Congressional District. Congresswoman, congratulations on your win and welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
So let me ask you right off the bat, what does this election as it stands today, Congresswoman, tell you about where we are in America and who we are as Americans?
Tiziana, this election tells me that the American people have chosen hope. They voted for truth, science, equality, and democracy. And I've been thinking about a quote from Desmond that says, hope is being able to see the light despite all the darkness. And President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris are our light. And they're ready to heal our nation, to tear down the walls of division, and rebuild trust in our democracy and each other. And that's what together the House Democratic majority in the White House are going to do. We are going to fight for people to ensure that every single family has access to opportunity, that women are treated equally, kids are safe from gun violence, healthcare is a right, that we address climate change, and that we help everyone earn a livable wage and be treated with respect and dignity.
You know, occupy a space as an elected representative, but also a voter and an American. Where were you on Saturday when the race was called? And what was the first thing you did when you heard the news?
I was home in Melrose, Massachusetts at my house. And I have to say, I gave out a big whoop. I think you could have heard it from several blocks away. It was really that a chance to heal in this pandemic, the chance to bring Americans back together. We know the work that is in front of us, but it did represent hope. And I just have to say that it also really struck me the accomplishment of the election of Kamala Harris. And we have shattered a glass ceiling with her election. And it is a milestone that we need to celebrate in our march towards equality for women and especially for women of color. And I couldn't help but thinking about all the girls and young women who are seeing this moment and that it is so critical. You were just talking with your previous guests about restoring trust and reducing cynicism around government. And there's no better way to do that than to see yourself represented in the highest offices in our land. So I think this is a moment that we have to celebrate amidst our concerns over the pandemic, its economic fallout, where we are in the country, on so many different areas. It is women and women of color who've played a significant role in our democracy as voters, organizers, community leaders. And now, through Kamala Harris, we are going to be at the decision-making table at the White House. And it's been a long time coming, but we know that issues like childcare and paid leave and equal pay are going to be at the top of the agenda. And that really is worth celebrating.
You know, there is also a challenge here. House Democrats lost 4 seats, according to the latest AP count. And we still had more than 70 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump. So this was not arguably a massive sweep, a massive blue wave. How do you account for that change in the House, and how does it affect how you'll think about a legislative agenda for a Democratic House?
Yeah, our agenda hasn't changed. I am proud that we did defend the House majority and that we have diversified, which was already the most diverse Congress in history, even more. More women, more people of color and LGBTQ members than ever. And when we mirror the diversity of the American people, and we come from very different districts, we are able to unify in our commitment to fight the existential issue of climate change, to make healthcare a right, not a privilege, and to end and address systemic racism. So no matter what their political persuasion, American people want us to get to work on the things that impact their everyday lives. And that's the goal of our caucus, and that is the goal that is going to unify us. And I hope begin to bring this bridge that we need to build to people who did not vote for Joe Biden, who may not have voted for a Democratic senator or member of the House, but whose household is faced with the same issues of people in red states and blue states, and how we crush this virus and how we rebuild this economy into an even more inclusive one is the work before us. And it's going to be challenging, but it's also an opportunity.
I want to stay on that for a minute. I have a chance to ask you this. I want to. Many pundits are saying the president ultimately lost based on his management of the coronavirus. The Democrats lost seats in the House. I wonder if you think the House paid a price for not compromising on a second relief bill. You were just talking about these challenges for red and blue families around the country in this virus. And a second relief bill didn't come all the way through. The House passed one in the spring, but it didn't come all the way through. How are you thinking about that? And was that a mistake?
You know, this is how I look at this issue and the results that we have seen come in from Tuesday's vote. I think that the pandemic and the president's response was very much on the minds of voters as we are seeing our numbers once again get up into very dangerous levels here in Massachusetts. And that story is being repeated across the country. The pandemic raised so many inequities that we knew existed before and brought them into stark relief. But it also brought into the failure of leadership of this president and those who supported him. We passed a robust relief package back in May. We have come to the president. We have come to Mitch McConnell with offers, compromises, and they have proven not to be interested in truly providing for the American people. It's not about just putting money towards relief. It's about targeting it to where the need is, to making sure that we can support state and local governments, that we can feed people who are going hungry, that we can support people's businesses so they can protect their livelihood till we can get this pandemic under control. That is where we just did not see Mitch McConnell, for example, even coming to the table. He says he'll come now. We're still there, waiting and ready. This is relief the American people need. And I think that Republicans and the president in particular, this pandemic revealed and his subsequent negotiations revealed that this is all about him and that he just wasn't able to see and meet the needs of Americans.
You are one of the senior leaders in the Democratic caucus in the House. Is there a bridge building to do inside the Democratic big tent between the moderate elected representatives and the more progressive representatives in your own party?
You know, there's always a theme with winning parties after elections, that especially with Democrats in disarray. But I can tell you that I have talked to so many members across our caucus in the last few days, and there is a real commitment and unity that this is a moment where our country needs us to come together, to unite behind those issues that people talk about, that keep them up at night, worrying about, and making sure that we show people that we don't just oppose Donald Trump, which we do, but that we're ready to govern and we're ready to come together and put those issues that are so key to people's success in the immediate with the pandemic and in the long term to protect our planet, to finally address, you know, the toxic roots of slavery in our country and root out systemic racism. These are issues that people care very deeply about, and we will be a united front, and we will reach out across the aisle and hope that with a new president, with an emphasis on unity and truly being a president for all American people, we are going to find new partners in this work, and we're going to be able to expand access to health care, work on racial justice, make sure we're addressing climate change, pass a robust infrastructure bill, get people back to work and back in school by addressing this virus and bringing down infection rates. This is the work we have to do, and I see and hear from my caucus members a true commitment to doing that together, not only with the members of our caucus, but with the American people.
You are running to be Assistant Speaker of the House. Can I ask you how you see your prospects there, how you feel that's going?
I am very excited about my prospects. And, you know, a few people asked me after the election, boy, are you sure you still want to do this? You know, I was hoping you'd have a supermajority. But it's more important than ever. This position is a building block for the skills and experiences and the trust I've been able to build throughout our caucus, because I believe in the individual success of each member helps us be successful for the American people. And we do have a diverse caucus. And what makes it wonderful is it reflects the diversity of the beautiful mosaic of our country. And so I'm going to continue that work to be more of a listener than a talker, to make sure that we are hearing from our historically diverse membership, because that's the way we put the voice of the American people at our leadership table. And that's what we need to do. We have no shortage of challenges, but I am optimistic about our ability to meet them.
That is Massachusetts Congresswoman Catherine Clark of the 5th District. Congresswoman, I appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Thanks.
Thank you, Tiziana.